when my early morning day begins, and the sunlight hits my face. I've got the sound of WGN 720 locked in place. Now I've tuned to you, and the day's all bright with me. Yeah, 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 yeah. The voice and wake up call, I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
Friday, I guess you probably figured that part out if you're awake. And 6:12, finished off the Amy Cochran birthday celebration late last night.
How was that?
It was good. Well, you only turned 31, you might as well blow it out, right?
Yeah, did you have dinner? Tell us the details.
Dinner, yeah, we had dinner, family dinner. I snuck into her apartment, decorated her apartment.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, uh-huh. Cool.
Uh-huh. And, yeah, it was great. She was a great kid, turned into a great person, great adult, great part of society.
Now, will she continue the birthday celebration through the weekend, you know, going out with the friends?
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, she deserves it.
Yeah. Not that last night wasn't great with the family, but yeah. She probably wants to.
You know, I don't see my mom every day because, you know, she hides. Man, my mom looks great.
She sure does.
Yeah, she really does.
She sure does.
I mean, she's no spring chicken, but she looks great.
Did she behave herself, your mom?
She did a little table dancing.
Yeah,
but, you know,
she's got a little out of control.
She always asks me, oh, when are your mom and I going to go out for vodka tonics?
Your mom?
Yeah. Because apparently that's their drink of choice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My mom and the vodka. It's the only thing she agrees with Putin on. Here's what I want to do about the Super Bowl picks, because we've wang-dang-doodled this thing to death. And Mary, I'll have your trophy on Monday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, your regular season trophy.
Yes.
But we'll have to award a Super Bowl trophy as well. We're just going to go straight game score.
Okay.
That's it. No other picks, no players, straight game score. Pick the winner, pick the score. That's it.
Cool.
That's it.
Cool.
And you're done?
And you're done. And then Mary will tabulate it this weekend, and somehow she'll win.
Yeah, exactly right. Right. Mary will pick the losing team. Like
Mary Sandberg.
3-3. Yeah.
Sandberg, I'm
sure.
Yes. I'm not sure that we even need to do this because I've won the every week of the playoffs.
Oh, God.
So aren't I just the winner? Probably?
But that doesn't count.
I think
count.
We do have to go through the actual formality of the Super Bowl picks prior to your coronation.
Okay.
Yes.
Sounds good.
So we're going to have a double coronation?
It'll be awesome when it's the two Marys. Yeah.
Okay, yeah,
that's awesome. The two Marys. And we're both on the don't care team.
That's right.
Yeah, coronate the both
the
of you.
The top
6 at 6 starts now.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the Steve Cochran Show presents the top 6 at 6.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
6.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is 6.
The top 6 at 6 on 720 WGN.
6 things people are going to be talking about today, starting with, you want the good news or the bad news about Russia first? The good news or the bad news about Russia?
Let's go bad news first.
Let's
bad
go good news.
First. Oh, good. Mary, tie vote breaker? Break tie voter? Tie breaking vote?
What?
Bad news. I'll go bad news. I'll break it.
Oh, now we're going to have another. All right, bad news.
Okay.
Bad news. Did Vladimir Putin kill one of his main critics? As you wake up this morning on the other side of the world, one of the main critics of Vladimir Putin was poisoned, possibly a second time.
Uh-huh.
This guy's not dying easy. His lawyer says he's being poisoned by Putin and Putin's minions. I don't think Putin's holding him down and giving him the poison. But this is not the first time that the Putin regime has been accused of killing those who are against him. Now, would you like the good news?
By the way, this is all true. Just because it's bad news, this is true.
Yeah, no, none of this.
Yeah, exactly.
Top 6 at 6 is a federal law. I can't make any of this
exactly.
up. Not one bit of it. Here's your good news. The Trump administration has said something negative about Russia. About it. Nikki Haley at the UN yesterday said this Russian aggression in Ukraine will not stand and will not be tolerated. And there will be no discussion of sanctions on Russia being lifted. Well, the aggression against Ukraine continues. Now, here's the good news. Every source says that those words by Nikki Haley weren't freelanced, that those were vetted in the Trump White House.
Oh, they were.
So what gives? Here we thought we had the guy figured out. We thought he was in bed with Putin. We thought the whole thing was a sham. Maybe the Trumpster's coming around. Stay tuned.
It's 6:16.
Stay tuned. Oh, and by the way, he did a tweet this morning. You got to hear. And when I say he did a tweet, what I meant to say, he tweeted. He did a tweet.
He went on the Twitter.
I'm on Twitter all day. He did a tweet.
He did a tweet.
A new survey out, say 4 in 10 Americans want Trump impeached. Now, he's got 37% to 42% popularity, depending on the poll you pay attention to. 4 in 10 would be a lot. That would mean 2 in 10 are unsure. It's early. And again, they're saying stuff about Russia now. So, come on, let's back up for a second. How about this? Hawks back to their winning ways. Of course, it was a little dicey. Another shaky third period.
But they did not allow any goals in the third period.
But it looked like it could get bad very quickly, right?
Yeah.
In fact, last, 7, 8, 9 minutes of the second period went south.
Yes.
And they held on, and they beat the vicious Arizona. Look, it's a win.
Yes.
It's a win, and it's a good one because they needed to stop the bleeding and snap the streak. And that's what they did.
It'd be nice to see them get a win in Dallas tomorrow.
Yeah, that would be. You know what that is? That's a statement game.
It's a statement game against a team in your division.
And the statement is, we're not going to take it anymore.
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about. One of the, listen, Dave and I agree on this. One of the cutest quarterbacks in the National Football League. Jimmy Garoppolo is in the news. Is Jimmy Garoppolo coming to the Bears? In other words, is he coming home to Illinois?
I hope so.
Because he's cute or because you think he's talented?
Both.
Sandberg screaming cute from the back room.
Yeah, bring him on.
He's a very good quarterback in the limited time we've seen him.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, first and foremost, we need a good, solid quarterback who's not injured for half the season.
But you know what? I think he's a guy that you could count on to not only to come in and play well, but to develop. I mean, he's 25, I think.
Yeah.
You know, young guy.
And he smiles.
10 primetime years.
He knows how to smile.
Bring him on.
And then finally, there's this. Megyn Kelly is set to become Matt Lauer's Today Show co-host. True? Not true? That's the question out there in show business today. Well, Tamron Hall, formerly of Fox here in Chicago, walked off the NBC situation and said, I'm done. And now there are several groups, including the, and I don't have the exact acronym here, but the Black Journalists Collective.
The American Association of Black Journalists.
There it is. Okay. Yeah. Who are upset about this and called it the whitewashing of NBC. Okay, look, prejudice in any way is wrong. This is simply business. Megyn Kelly came from Fox as a huge star. NBC spent a mountain of money to get her. They will showcase her to the best of their ability to get their money back. It's as simple as that. And I don't think you could call NBC whitewashing anything when their lead anchor is Lester Holt. And Lester Holt, in case you missed it, is a black man. So let's stand down a little bit. And I wish Tamron Hall a lot of luck. And she's talented. And she'll work wherever she wants to work. And I would guess ABC or CBS would probably pick her up pretty quickly, or Fox. Though her on Fox would be amusing, wouldn't it?
It would be, yeah.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time, of the show for Lou's First Call.
It's the legend, Lou Manfredini, and he joins us now. Before we get to Dorothy, as your first caller, Lou, how are you today? Lou, how are you today? You've been listening to Lou Manfredini live from...
Mic check.
Mic check to you too. There you go.
Mic check. Two. The 10th anniversary show of Housemarque should be airing this week or next.
You're watching Chicago's very own WGN News.
Sounds like the Channel 9 engineers might be having some trouble this morning.
It's the Paul Conrad engineer. It's Kent.
Yeah.
Our buddy.
Can we get Lou on the phone for the 30 seconds we'll have left in the segment?
Would this be a good time for me to ask him about my buckthorn?
You know what? There's never a bad time for you to ask about your buckthorn. Lou Manfredini will join us by phone here in just a second, and then we'll continue with the always award-winning Friday morning Lou's First Call segment.
Lou, my buckthorn is exploding.
That's a problem. All of your buttons were selected and pushed and put in the proper position.
So I'm right here. Hold on.
Yeah, no, it's on your end, buddy. It's on your end.
All right, I'm good. With two backpacks. Police say those backpacks.
Mm. Not only is it on your end, we're listening to Robin Baumgarten do the news. So.
Oh, okay. That's good. It's like a twofer.
Yeah. Sponsored by American Weathermakers. Let's get the first call on the air while we can. Are we locked in here? Yeah. Let me know when you're locked in so I can go to the other line without hanging up on it. There we go. And it is Dorothy. Good morning, Dorothy. How are you?
I'm fine. I think the problem is me. I have an anti-tech aura around me.
I don't think that's true at all.
It is. You wouldn't believe it.
It's Dorothy's fault. Steve? Maybe Dorothy's not the one that should win the Wi-Fi thermostat because that's more tech. But it's easy to use.
No, it probably wouldn't work for me.
I think Dorothy's going to get one of her sons or nephews or daughters to come over and hook that bad boy up for her.
Right. We need a 10-year-old.
April Airfare, there you go, April Airfare, April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home and your home's air on your smartphone. Brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Man. Call 855-955-HVAC. What is your trouble? What are your troubles, Dorothy?
Well, my first trouble is I'm married to an electrician.
Oh, boy.
Who thought he fixed the problem, but it continues, and it scares me to death. Whenever I go into my laundry room, if I use my finger to flip the switch on because it's dark in there, there is a very loud crack, like a bolt of lightning. And every time I do that, I'm afraid that there's going to be a short or something is going to catch fire or explode. What he did was change the switch, but it continues to do that noise. If I take my gym shoe and stand outside the room and reach into the switch and flip it on with my gym shoe, it doesn't do that.
What's going on at her house?
Wow. Okay.
First off, the electrician apparently isn't working after hours.
No.
Right. I'm not going to. Yeah, I don't want to go against your husband, the electrician, who's far more versed technically than me in all this. But obviously there is some sort of static electricity or grounding that's occurring in that room, and you know, there's either a light fixture that needs to be grounded, or it's a laundry room. It could be some issue with a neutral wire or something that's touching inside of a box. I mean, at this point, if it were me, I would take all the devices, any kind of receptacle or switch, and take it out of the box, so that all the wires are exposed, and test the system out. In other words, then try and make it happen. Does it happen all the time? I'm assuming it happens all the time.
No, sometimes I can flip it on, but usually I use a gym shoe because I feel like as long as I've used the gym shoe,
Dorothy, that's no way to live your life. You can't be standing outside. You can't be sneaking up.
But this is super funny.
You can't be sneaking up on your light fixtures with your sneaker.
But that's the only way I can do it without getting, you know, scared to death.
Well, what's that genius husband of yours saying?
He said he replaced the switch and he's done.
All right. How long have you been married to this man?
60 years.
That's cute.
How long?
60.
60. Oh. Dorothy, listen.
Dorothy, I think you've done your time.
Yeah, and Dorothy, as fabulous a babe as you are, there's plenty of other fish in the sea. Yeah. So let's get the light fixed. Let's get the lights fixed, switched, and let's get you out there. All right, hold the line, Dorothy. You're a big winner.
Could Lou make a personal call, please?
All right, look, what happens between you and Lou is none of my business.
Were you guys suggesting, you know, she check out the other fish in the sea?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was suggesting. Mm-hmm.
Right. At this point, I would just...
The poor woman standing, she's sneaking up on her light switch with gym shoes.
With her sneakers,
and her electrician husband's going, good luck.
I would take all the devices out and test everything.
Going to be some Dateline crew coming by her house.
Yeah.
Dorothy.
It's going to be Lou.
Dorothy had a shoe, and then the house blew up. Sponsored by American Weathermakers. Congratulations, Dorothy. Unfortunately, Lou, because of all the troubles this morning, we have no time for anything else other than to wish you a happy Super Bowl weekend and get your pick. Who's going to win?
Love you. Atlanta.
Going score?
Atlanta. Atlanta by nine.
Okay. I'm going to sneak up on your pick with a shoe and whack it. Thank you, buddy. Have a great weekend. And let's come back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Lou, my buckthorn is exploding.
Well. Welcome once again to America's fastest growing game that we've never played before. It's Super Bowl prop bet or not. Listener James is standing by. He will have three opportunities to tell us if this is a Super Bowl prop bet or not. If he gets the majority right, the majority of three would be what? One? Yeah, one. One's enough. Yeah, sure. Yes. One's enough. Yeah. Let's go to James. All right, James, you know what a prop bet is?
No, go ahead. Tell me, what is it?
A prop bet is a propositional bet that is not generally considered part of the game action and not a traditional bet. That's close enough.
Okay.
You know, I made up the definition. Right. Dave, could you give us an example of a prop bet not to be included in the game?
A prop bet not to be included in the game. Let's see.
I can give you one.
Okay.
Will Tom Brady's wife appear on the field?
Okay. Yeah, that would
be. Is that a prop bet or not? And then you would say, yes, that Vegas is taking money on that or they're not. That's how we play.
And keep in mind, okay. Vegas is taking money or just about anything.
Yeah. Yeah. No question. All right. So, Dave, please give us prop bet or not question number one.
All right, James. Prop bet or not. Tom Brady will or will not rush for a touchdown.
Is that an actual bet, a prop bet, or no bet whatsoever that Dave just made up while he was drinking? What is it?
I say actual bet.
I think that's exactly right.
He's a winner.
That's exactly right. He's already a winner. Let's go to prop bet number two for bonus prizes.
Prop bet or not, actually. Prop bet or not. Joe Buck will use the term Deflategate during the Fox telecast.
Will Joe Buck use the term Deflategate during the telecast? But that sounds legit to me. I don't know. What do you think, Hunter?
I think it is.
Yeah. I mean, listen, James, it's your call, but I'd say it is. Apparently, James quit.
He's one and done.
I say for sure, absolutely.
Oh. There you go. Another big winner. Nice. All right, give us one that's not a prop bet so we feel good about things. No, I'm kidding. That's not how the game's played.
Yeah, right. What game are you playing, Steve?
We play it later. Stand by. There could be more prop bet or not as the show continues. Very exciting. Oh, by the way, James, you've won auto show tickets.
All right. Wait.
He was done after the first question.
James is trying to still figure out what a prop bet is.
All right. No, that's good. Yeah.
We are too, James.
I'm hearing.
Well, man, you know. Four tickets to the Chicago Auto Show, courtesy of Fifth Third Bank. Show runs February 11th through the 20th. You can also register online with a Navy VIP. That'd be a Navy Pier VIP experience. A Navy VIP experience would be something different. It's sponsored by Fifth Third Bank. Go to WGNRadio.com/Fifth Third and enter to win before February 19th. We also have Apt gift cards, pleasing people since 1936. That's in there as well. So there you go, buddy. You're a big winner.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Prop bet or not.
Do you think this game is going to take off? Because I have.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Second play of the second half of the 21-yard line. Walter needs two to break the record. High formation. Wing to the right is McKinnon. Galt wide to the left. They send McKinnon in motion through to the left side. Quick pitch to Walter. Looking for the record. Cuts back. He's got it. He's out of it at 25 to the 26-yard line. Calder Payton becomes the National Football League all-time leading rusher, surpassing Jim Brown.
Jared Payton on the phone. I mean, I know you've heard it a million times. I know you've seen it a million times. You still get goosebumps?
Every single time I hear it, I mean, it's man, he was pure greatness, man. And just to be here in Houston and walking around and seeing a lot of these, even young kids wearing this 34 jersey, and it's just, it's still, it just doesn't, it gives me goosebumps. It gives me chills. And I don't know, it makes me miss him even more, like being here now, you know? Yeah,
I have no doubt. How old are you then? Because that shot of you in the press box, you know, with your mom.
Yeah, the funny thing is I was like 4 at that time, and I was, I guess the TV panned to me, and I started like giving, stick my tongue out at the TV, at the camera. So, and that's something that my son would do right now, who's 4 and a half. It's so funny. So, I just remember that day. I don't remember the whole everything, like being at the stadium. I remember leaving the stadium because that's when my dad got that Lamborghini from, from Kangaroos. The shoes that he used to wear. They gave him the Lamborghini. And I remember all these people taking camera photos with their cameras, and like actually real cameras, not iPhones. And my dad looked at me, and it was this moment where he closed the doors and he looked at me and he said, "Are you ready?" And I was like, "Yeah." And I remember that. It's just like this vivid memory of him saying, "Are you ready?"
That's cool.
We got home in about, from Soldier Field to South Barrington in about 15 minutes. That's how fast we were going.
Dave said, JP.
Hey, JP, you know what I remember being there that day in the press conference afterwards? When they got the president on a speakerphone with your dad, President Reagan, and at the end he says, say hi to Nancy.
Yeah. It's just always a moment to have some type of, you know, some type of joke in there.
He was a funny dude. He was always a funny dude. The Walter Payton Man of the Year Award is one of the most coveted things about the National Football League around Super Bowl weekend. It's a wonderful presentation by your family. I assume you're all going to be there?
Yeah, we're all here just kind of hanging out now and getting ready today for the Man of the Year luncheon and sit down with, you know, all 3 finalists and their families. So we're looking forward to it. And you look at all the 3 finalists, from Larry Fitzgerald to Eli Manning to Greg Olsen, all 3 guys very deserving of the award. And it hurts your heart because all 3 are winners, and that's how I look at it in the grand scheme of things. They're all doing things in their respective communities and giving back, so it's pretty cool.
When will the announcement be? Is it around the Hall of Fame stuff tomorrow night?
Yeah, it will be Saturday night. NFL honors, we'll all know. I won't know until probably leading up to us getting in the car heading to the honors. That's the one I actually find out. So everybody thinks I know. I don't know. My mom doesn't know. No one knows until we actually get to leaving towards the honors. We'll find out, and I'll have my tweet ready to go by the time the commissioner says the winner's name. So,
He's got 3 draft tweets for each one of the, and he's ready to pop one of them.
Can't you just send for
your dad knows?
What'd you say?
I said your dad knows.
Oh, he does know, and which is really cool this morning, though, Steve. It's unbelievable. I have a chance this morning on Facebook Live on my Facebook page to sit down and interview at 9 o'clock. Jim Brown, Marcus Allen, Perry Sanders, and Earl Campbell. I'm sitting down with talking.
How cool is that?
For an hour on Facebook Live. So if anybody wants to find it, all they have to do is go to my Facebook fan page or my dad's Facebook fan page.
Well, let's shut down the show. I want to see that.
It's going to be pretty cool. I'm kind of nervous because those are my heroes. That's who I grew up watching.
Well, how much fun is that going to be to hear those 4 talking about your dad? Because you know it's going to come up.
Yeah, or it's going to come up. I just got chills again, Steve. So it's just one of those moments where we get a chance, and Facebook is actually on the scene. They're setting up big cameras.
Excellent.
It could be seen by over, like, I would say close to 30 million people. It's going to be the craziest thing this morning. So
that's
great. I'm super excited.
Thank those gentlemen for all the entertainment they provided through the years, too, for the rest of us. JP, I couldn't be happier for you and the family. It's a great moment this weekend. And who are you picking in the game, by the way?
I am picking the Falcons. I got them 30-28. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Whoever has the ball last, but I just think that Atlanta defense is going to kind of trick everybody and come out and have a effective day and get after Tom Brady. So That's what I got.
My buddy, all the best. Safe travels back. That's Jared Payton. And the Payton family setting up for the weekend on the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award.
Those are three great finalists, too.
They are great finalists.
I mean, you can't do much better. Olsen, who Bears fans got to know, certainly his many contributions in this
Manning,
area.
Olsen, and Fitzgerald.
Yeah,
great
Larry
law firm.
Fitzgerald. Yes, it is.
I have a Greg Olsen jersey. He's my favorite. He's got to win.
That's the most positive thing we've ever heard Mary say on the show.
Come on.
833 shows later at some point.
The Wang Dang Doodle.
Our final pick of the year. And we're simply going with the winner and the score. Let's go to Sandberg on this. Who picks first?
Before that, my sister and I both wore kangaroos because of Walter Payton. I had a white pair and they had pink kangaroos on them. And you know, they always had a pocket. And I put a quarter in my pocket. The shoe had a little pocket on it.
Because of who?
Walter Payton.
Okay.
Payton.
I thought you said Payton.
Payton.
Didn't
I know.
She? Come on.
I know.
That was
I
cute.
Say tea.
This is the excessive pronunciation.
Button, mitten, carton. I really don't know why it's always such a highlight for you guys to point out.
The entire staff finds it incredibly amusing. I don't see it, to be honest with you.
I heard those kangaroos had a lot of buttons.
All right.
Mine. Well, you know what? Mine were the tie shoes. I was a little bit upset, actually. We bought them at Stride Right. Mine were the tie ones because my feet were so narrow that I couldn't get the Velcro ones. Katie got the gray and pink Velcro kangaroos because her feet were a little wider.
Oh, those are the ones I had. All right, who picks first?
Mary Vandeveld.
Mary Vandeveld, regular season winner.
Yes. I'm going Falcons 31-28.
31-28. Next.
Steve Grzanich.
Steve Grzanich, not in the chair. So let's pick for him. He's got Lions 16, Bears 10.
That's not fair.
I'll be there in a minute. Just give him a chance.
John DeCosta and Bennett, also MIA.
Yeah, so is my mother. You'll get those later.
Okay, so it's me, and I'm going Patriots 27-21.
If Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo weren't so cute, would you pick the Patriots?
Oh, no.
Yeah, okay. Next.
Steve Cochran.
Falcons, and it's not going to be close. 34-21.
Wow.
Andrea.
My heart says Atlanta, but my head says Patriots, so I'll go Patriots 31-28.
Dave. It's the same score I had.
Well, you can't have the same score.
But then. I had Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
Good. Yeah, same teams.
I'm going to take Patriots 31, Falcons 27.
31-27.
Falcons. He's making fun of me there.
31-27. So what you did there was kind of a Price is Right move. You just moved it a dollar.
I already had it written down here.
You just moved it a dollar.
Right.
Yes, I did.
Next.
Mr. Mike Jacobson.
31-23 Patriots.
Ooh.
Okay, it's a pretty good split with the staff, right?
Yeah.
Got some Falcons and some Patriots. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, good. All right, those picks will be tabulated on Monday. We'll do the trophy presentation.
And this will be the last Steve Cochran Show Wang Ding Doodle ever, probably, hopefully.
Oh, yeah,
ever,
I don't see that
ever?
Happening for you.
Oh, we're not doing golf, are we?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, we'll do all the majors.
That's the best part.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to pick all the tournaments, as a matter of fact, the rest of the season.
We should do every tournament.
There's Grzanich. Grzanich, what's your pick?
We can do the women's tournament.
Steve Grzanich, your Super Bowl pick.
Arizona.
Oh, that's what the financial guy that he had on this morning picked Arizona.
No.
Paul Nolte.
No.
It's Atlanta. Atlanta or New England?
New England by two touchdowns.
All right. Can you give me an actual score? Just pick a number and add 14.
21-3.
Okay.
Excellent.
Oh, my.
Two touchdowns and a field goal.
That's cute.
Good to see the math majors doing the business show. Back with the news next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Today we're here with Steve Cochran from WGN Radio and Weston, who's a sophomore from the wild side here at Northwestern. Steve is going to shoot a half-court shot. If he makes it, Weston gets $10,000. So let's hear it for Steve. He's going to make this half-court shot whenever you're ready. Are you ready? We're ready. That was a little off the mark.
Go Cats.
7:14. See, I remember that completely differently. I remember nothing but net.
Hit the net?
Yeah, it didn't hit the rim.
The breeze hit the net?
Head coach of your Northwestern Wildcats, Chris Collins, joins us now. First off, Coach, congratulations. I forget about Purdue for a second. Congratulations on what's been an amazing season and what I know is going to be an amazing run onto the tournament. You get your guys healthy and get them back, there's no stopping you.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun. It's a great group of guys. They've been through a lot these last couple of years, good and bad, and have really turned in a great year so far. So we got these 8 games left, and hopefully we can finish strong.
I have no doubt, and neither does your play-by-play superstar, Dave Ennett, who comes to work every time you guys play. And by the way, the best thing about Dave Ennett is when people go, do you come to every game?
That is, I do get asked that a lot, yes.
Do you come to every game? How do you get tickets for every game? Yeah, you know, I know a guy. But don't you agree, Dave, don't you agree that this team's got what it takes to finish strong?
Well, no question about it. And I mean, you look at their body of work and, you know, going back, Chris, to the other night, and when I talked to you after the game down at Purdue, I didn't get the sense that your players or you were devastated, disappointed, yes, but not the end of the world kind of stuff.
No, I mean, we got beat the other night by a really good team. They played great, hit us with a burst there in the first half to hit 9 threes in the first half to open the lead to 20. And, you know, in the second half, we kept fighting. We cut it to 14 and just weren't able to get over the hump against a good team on the road. We were a little bit shorthanded playing with 2 guys out. And, you know, we're a confident group. You know, we were disappointed. We went there to win and play well. It didn't happen. And we're going to regroup and get ready for the next one. That's in the Big Ten. I mean, you're not going to go undefeated. It's just too tough of a league, too tough environments you play in. And, you know, you're going to have some nights where the other team's just a little bit better than you are, and you got to dust it off and get ready for the next one. And that's what we're going to try to do.
Is that the message after a game like that? You sit down with these guys, because got to remember, look, these are some of the smartest kids in the country, but they're still kids. And you sit down with them and give them that same speech.
Yeah. I mean, I think the message depends on the effort you see. And, you know, what I saw out there the other night, although we lost and, you know, there were a lot of things we could have done better. Our effort was really good. Our guys, you know, tried to stick to the game plan. They played really hard. You know, it just was one of those nights where you got beat by a better team on that given night. So, you know, when that happens, you know, it's not the right move to go in there and yell and scream and go nuts, because, you know, that's not really what I saw out there. I saw a group that was fighting and playing well and, you know, just got to get some things together and play a little bit better and get ready to go on Tuesday.
You know, and when you get a team that's hot from 3 and just throwing up rainbows and everything's going in, because Purdue made a ton of 3s, that's tough to beat, no matter how well you're playing.
Yeah, I mean, they were fantastic. And, you know, I don't know what we could have done. It was I even said to my staff after the game, I think it was one of those games where they were coming off a tough loss. They had lost at Nebraska the game before, and their crowd was rocking. They were at home, and I'm not sure many teams in the country would have beat them the other night the way they played. So it is what it is, and, you know, you learn from it, and, you know, we'll get a chance to play them again in a few weeks and hopefully, you know, be able to do a little bit better job once we get them at our place.
And you're without your leading scorer, Scotty Lindsay, and I can just hear all the Wildcat fans who are yelling at their radios, ask him about Scotty and when he's coming back. Yeah. But you do you have any idea, Chris, how long he's going to be out with his illness?
Hopefully sooner rather than later. You guys know with illness, it's not like a broken bone or a sprained ankle or anything like that. So, you know, when he's feeling better, he'll be back out there. So I certainly say a little prayer for him every night, and he is starting to feel better. Talk to him every day, and, you know, hope I don't have any current updates other than, you know, we'll get him back out there as soon as he's up to it. And he's chomping at the bit to get back out there and rejoin his teammates.
Yeah, it's funny, we don't talk about it much, but the winter weather sports are more susceptible to illness because you got flu going around, you got this stomach flu that's out there now. It's the cold and flu season in general. It's pretty amazing that you don't have more kids going down and guys in the Blackhawks or the Bulls or whoever.
Yeah, it's something we try to talk about all the time once the weather starts changing is making sure we're dressed in the right way, making sure we're getting the right amount of rest, making sure our nutrition with, you know, we're getting the right stuff in our bodies and,
you do your best to try to stay healthy. It's but it is, and when you're in a climate like ours and the weather's changing and guys are working as hard as they are and put the amount of time in physically, you know, you go through this time and throughout the year, even get, you know, guys that they are playing, a lot of times you don't hear about it when guys are, you know, fighting through playing with a tough cold or playing with a little bit of the flu. And, you know, it's something we deal with every year.
Well, you have five home games left. You don't play this weekend. You're going to play Tuesday against Illinois at Wells Ryan Arena, one of the five remaining home games. And your last game against Indiana was a sellout. You have five games left, and three of them are sold out, which is, I don't recall that ever happening. And the crowds have been just unbelievable. I know you've talked about this, but the atmosphere in that place has been electric.
Oh, it's been fun. It's I really feel like all of our Big Ten games that we've had at home, you know, the atmosphere has been great. The students are coming out. They're excited. They're getting into it. They, you know, having a lot of clever chants out there, which is makes it really fun. And our fans have been great this year. And, you know, that's something I know we all have talked about, you know, making better. And can we get that home court advantage that a number of other teams in our conference have? And we have that now, which is great. And I know it means a lot to our players as much as they put into it and as hard as they work. You want to be able in your home games to have that kind of support and feel that kind of energy, especially against the kind of teams we're playing night in and night out. And there was no bigger standing ovation, though, that I can remember, other than I'm in a timeout and I was completely distracted by the roar and standing ovation when Steve was introduced the other night at the game.
Yeah, and I think that's probably why I took a dive and missed the shot, because I didn't want to be a distraction. I didn't want the place to go bananas. At that point, it was still kind of a tight game, and then you pulled away from Nebraska in the second half. And I believe if it wasn't for my lame-ass half-court shot, you wouldn't have had the run you had in the second half. So you're welcome, Coach.
That was a little off the mark.
I appreciate it. I was taken aback, though. I'm in the huddle. I'm talking to my team, and all of a sudden there's just this loud standing ovation roar.
Oh, yeah,
and
sure.
I didn't realize what was happening, and then I kind of turned around. I saw it was you, so it all made sense.
You should ask Coach. We only said that you missed by, like, what, a foot,
yeah,
2 feet?
Yeah.
Coach might have hit a better angle.
I would say three
angle.
Feet.
Yeah,
three
about
feet.
Three,
yeah,
three, Coach?
Was it at least on line? Or,
dead
or
center.
Oh, yeah.
Was it?
Dead center. And yeah. I do know that there was someone in the back of the gym that opened up the doors, and there was a gust of wind from that end. But I don't like to make excuses.
Right.
You know, you come prepared, you take your shot. That's it. And the kid that walked out with $500, he couldn't have been more thrilled.
No, exactly.
Matter of fact, he hasn't been seen since.
Well, we got to get him back to the game because we need those stands packed on Tuesday night.
I am telling you right now, the buzz in that building when you walk in, I have never seen it for Northwestern basketball, and I've been going to games since I got to town in the early 90s. And, Dave, maybe you have, but I've never seen the kind of buzz and electricity for Northwestern.
No, not like this year. No, it's been at a different level.
Right. So congratulations to you, Coach, and best to the guys. And let's get this roll going again right through the end.
No, I appreciate it. Always good talking with you guys, and we'll get back at it. And again, let's if we can get the place packed here Tuesday night, it'd be great. Got the interstate rivalry, Illinois, so we got to get that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And for you kids that are thinking, I got to study. No, you don't. You're at Northwestern. You're smart already. You get all your studying done through 5 o'clock, and you treat yourself to Northwestern hoops Tuesday night. So you try to plan this out.
The students have been turning out. The students have been there.
Yeah, let's get the community out there as well. Yeah. Let's fill that building. All right, Coach, congrats. We're back after this. This would be the perfect bump. Doesn't this sound like an XRT song? I want to congratulate our friend Lynn Bremmer. Well, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of people on the radio in this town through the years and currently even that I'm not fond of. But Lynn Bremmer's not one of them. We like Lynn very much and always have. Lynn and I crossed paths back in the old days in Minneapolis coming up.
One of the nicest guys.
He's a phenomenal guy and a phenomenal talent who's done 25 years doing a morning show at WXRT.
Woo!
But the amazing thing about that is, as much of a grind as it is to get up at 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning, Lynn Bremmer goes out to concerts at least a couple of nights a week the night before. And as Muhammad Ali said, he's still pretty.
He's great. We love Lynn.
So, yeah, congratulations, Lynn. That's a heck of an accomplishment, 25 years. And you know, it's one thing to do 25 years and go, oh, well, yeah, he's still around. But he's 20. He's still relevant, still good, and still getting it done.
He's great.
As a matter of fact, if I wasn't on the air on this show, I'd be listening to him.
And probably playing golf with him.
We would, too.
Yeah. No. Yeah, what? Yeah. And Lynn listens to us occasionally because he's got to play, you know, a bunch of those hippie records he's playing over there. You know those hippie records they play over at XRT?
Like those nine-minute songs.
But congratulations to a great guy, Lynn Bremmer at WXRT. 25 years. Nicely done. Now, if you added up, my run here, minus the 3 years, but, you know, I got fired and I left. What am I at? 13. So I'm almost halfway to Lynn Bremmer. Well, just over halfway to Lynn Bremmer's number.
So then in the year 2030?
I thought you were going to do 25-25.
If we're all alive.
Which is another XRT song.
Yeah.
7:30. We're back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Good wines. Our friend David Plyer's here. Let's look at his Super Bowl commercials. David, CEO of Retail First, it's marketing and retail environment firm. What does that mean?
We also design store interiors. So for Walgreens, Ace Hardware, we actually do the inside of the store as well.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
But the marketing piece, what is that?
Marketing, social media, direct mail, branding, the whole nine yards.
So you sat down one day and you made up a business. Turns out it worked out okay.
Something like that, exactly. Yeah, okay.
And you're also Vice President of Museum of Broadcast Communications. How's that going?
It's going pretty well. We got a new guy leading the group, and that's Mr. Wirt upstairs.
Yeah.
So we're
Is he showing up for meetings? I can talk to him.
He does show up for meetings. Okay. I just want to say my wife just texted me, AM 720, question mark?
Wow.
Really?
Come on, honey.
Thanks for joining me.
Come on.
It's funny.
Same place you've worked for a while now.
Just 5 years almost, yeah.
When are you on again?
Saturday night and Sunday morning.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Got a guest you want to
catch
plug?
Me there. It's all Super Bowl. It's all like WGN. It's Adam Hogue. It's Jared Payton. It's Elliot Bamber from Chicago's Best. It's going to be all talking Super Bowl stuff.
Hey, we're going to have Hogue on Monday to wrap this up, too, the Super Bowl and wrap up the season.
He's a smart guy.
I like to have Elliot, too.
Yeah,
like
Elliot.
Food aspect.
He's cool,
yeah,
right? Yeah, very important.
All right. How much did a Super Bowl commercial cost in 1973, which would have been, what, around Super Bowl 5? Five or six?
Yeah,
1973, I'm going to say $5,000 a spot.
Ooh.
That's a little low.
Yeah.
$100,000.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How much is a Super Bowl commercial going to cost Sunday?
$5 million.
That's mm-hmm. exactly right.
$5 million.
They're outpacing inflation a little bit.
Just a little bit, yeah.
It's unbelievable, and it's $167,000 per second. But when you got 115 million people watching, you could make it work. But you make a good point in the notes that you sent us. That you forget about the extra cost. You forget about the promotion of the commercial.
Yeah.
You forget about traipsing a celebrity around a market and that whole thing, right?
That's another. Yeah. In fact, one of the things that we saw also is looking at these commercials, almost 60% of the commercials are actually one-minute spots. So literally these companies are spending $10 million on the spot itself.
So it's a $5 million 30.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And then a $5 million 30. And then there's probably spending $2 to $3 million on production on some of these things.
Holy cow.
There are movies that are made for less than that.
That's totally true.
Who spends the most? Bud usually spends the most.
Budweiser is usually the leader in that category. But, you know, this year's $385 million being spent on the Super Bowl. And if you look at the 70s, 80s, like all the way through 1988, we didn't spend that much on one Super Bowl.
Joe Montana and the 49ers kind of changed that, I think.
They changed it and
threw it in the TV era.
That's true.
You know, this surprised me. The most expensive commercial you can buy on regular primetime TV is The Walking Dead.
Not NCIS, none of these other network dramas that are highly rated. This is not a highly rated show, but it's highly sought after in the younger demographic. So $500,000, and they only have 12 million viewers, but it's 4 cents. is what it costs. That's how advertisers look at this, is how much is it costing me to advertise to that individual person. So that's 4 cents.
Regular primetime Big Bang Theory, about $350,000 an episode.
Right.
So $5 million is a lot of money. Let's talk about some of the commercials that are going to be on and some of the stuff you're going to see here and some of the celebrity highlights. The car ads, there's going to be a ton of car ads. Who's showing up in those?
That's the big ones. The big one is actually Joe Montana, Mike Singletary for Hyundai. Steve Carell's doing Honda, and they only did a little teaser in there. And by the way, with these teasers, I'm finding that that trend is a little bit more growing than actually playing the entire spot.
That's the way it before. Should be.
So it should be that way, because it's like when your aunt gave you a gift, say, oh, I'm buying you Stratego before your birthday, and you blow the whole thing.
Right.
You know, I would rather watch it at that time. So they're doing these little teaser spots, and I think that's a lot. People are tired of looking in advance, because what's there to look forward to?
Exactly.
At
it
this
used
point.
To be cool when the game would go to commercial and everybody would go, shh, 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 yeah. wait, here they come.
Yeah, for the just the spots. Yeah. Absolutely. Kia, Melissa McCarthy, that one has been released. Very funny. Mercedes, there's a Born to be Wild directed by the Coen brothers. It has Peter Fonda in it. Also pretty cool. And then Buick's got a cool one out that it's a Pee Wee football game, and Cam Newton kind of appears, and Miranda Kerr's in it. It's pretty cool.
Budweiser's,
all celebrity.
Budweiser's doing what?
Well, you know, people have been saying that there is no Clydesdales actually in this spot that's been released, and people have been talking a little bit about they'd like a little break from the politics during the Super Bowl. They'd like to actually just laugh and have a good time. This one is a little bit focused on immigration and talking about how the founder of Budweiser got to the country and started his business. But if you look really closely, the Clydesdales are hanging out in the background.
Yeah, you want your
country.
Clydesdales.
Have you
got to
have
those.
Yet? Yeah. It's a really good one. It's a tearjerker.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and also, it's not in your face. It's not President Trump's an idiot and he's wrong.
No, it's not.
It's actually
it's a simple story
about friendship.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And what's Pepsi doing?
Pepsi's got they're using John Legend's song Love Me Now, and you know, one of the big things that I think research has discovered is people find Dasani, which is a Coca-Cola water, they think it feels cheap and it doesn't feel like it's high quality. So Pepsi's coming out with something called Life Water that's going to be their new bottled water that you'll pay $5.
Is it the
for.
Life Water product that's been out there?
No,
they've
no.
just they've
there's a little rebranding here, but no, this is kind of a new product. It's Life Water WTR. It's a little bit different.
Okay. No electrolytes.
Yeah, no electrolytes in this one. No.
All right,
just water.
All right, and the return coming when after taking our traffic and some business here, we'll come back. The return of Mr. Clean, which for anybody under the age of 40, you're going to have to explain who Mr. Clean is.
Yeah,
I've seen this spot.
Mr. Clean,
it's
Mr. Clean.
Yeah,
it's very
it's true.
Funny, this
That's
one.
True, yeah. Never made a Super Bowl appearance. Yeah.
So, because, you know, he was drunk for all those years.
I don't know.
He looks like me a little, actually.
You don't remember when Mr. Clean went to rehab?
I do not.
was that
Mr.
a story?
Mr. Clean got clean. That's what happened.
Right.
Yeah, there's that line.
Got the big gold hoop earrings.
Nice. 748. You know, bald guy with hoop earrings.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
It certainly is a big bun.
It's a very big bun.
Big fluffy bun.
It's a very big fluffy bun.
Where's the beef?
Some hamburger places give you a lot less beef on a lot of bun.
Where's the beef?
At Wendy's, we serve a hamburger we modestly call a single. And Wendy's single has more beef than the Whopper or Big Mac. At Wendy's, you get more beef and less bun.
Hey, where's the beef? I don't think there's anybody back there.
You want something better. You're Wendy's kind of people.
Clara Peller. Right? Am I right, David Plyer?
Yeah, it's Clara Peller. She's going to be on my show this weekend.
Is she still alive?
No, she's dead. Long dead.
Yeah,
she might have been gone 15 years already, actually.
She was a rock star.
She was at that time, she was a rock star. And they did a couple follow-up commercials, I think, after that, too. And Mike was talking, Jacobson, about the fact that it was released a couple weeks before Super Bowl, but that's where everyone discovered it was during Super Bowl Sunday.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. Mr. Clean is back. Yeah. Mr. Clean, youngsters, those of you under 40.
That's right.
The cartoon animated mascot slash marketing figure for what company?
For Johnson Wax, Mr. Clean, and Mr. Clean, as you said, Andrea, it's a little creepy.
Yeah, the spot's a little
it's,
weird.
So it's a at-home mom, I guess, or a mom cleaning up the house, and she sees how easy it is with Mr. Clean to keep her house clean, but she's falling in love with him throughout. So it's an animated figure. It's very funny at the end, but you're right, a tad creepy.
Do they end up together?
Sort of.
Does Mr. Clean give her a rose?
No, someone else.
Do you want me to give it away?
I don't want to give her
something. You're going to do a spoiler alert for a commercial.
Spoiler alert for the spot. Her husband comes in and kind of is transformed from Mr. Clean into the husband.
Yeah.
And he's
so it works out okay?
Yeah, they start making out on the couch.
Yeah.
Does he smell like ammonia?
I
don't quite know.
He might a little.
Now, let's talk a little bit of Super Bowl food, Mr. Marketing Genius.
Yes, absolutely.
What do we know for consumption or commercials?
You know, there's a couple of Buffalo Wild Wings. Actually, there's a Brett Favre commercial. It's a Buffalo Wild Wings that is quite funny. They're talking about all of his kind of his fumbles that he's ever made and how they were made. Was he's questioning if they were actually aliens that did that, not him.
That's funny.
Himself. It was very funny. The whole spot is funny. You know, it's funny. We were trying to pick clips to play during the show. Some of these are so visual, it is just hard to translate on radio. There's just a few of them that you can really do. Skittles is the other one, and Andrea, you saw that too.
Hilarious, yeah. Have you seen this one where they're, Steve, where they're tossing the Skittles up into the...
Can I point one thing out?
Yeah.
Andrea has complained that she wishes we could see commercials just on Super Bowl day.
And you've watched all of them.
Well, you know why?
It's your job.
Because you're in your face.
Because I have to, I feel like I have to prep it. Yeah, I feel like, you know, so I have the background so we can talk about it. But I, you know, it's funny. I felt dirty doing it. I did. I watched them and then I ran to the shower.
Especially after Mr. Clean video.
No, that's a good point, though. I spoiler alerted myself.
I want to apologize to someone. Remember when I was saying that Adam Driver's on the list? Adam Driver's in a Super Bowl commercial. Which commercial?
Oh, Adam is in...
Is it the Snickers commercial? I think it's the Snickers commercial.
Yeah, but there's no sneak preview because Snickers is going to be
a live
commercial. Yeah.
See, I didn't watch that one.
Which is pretty cool. That you want to talk about something anticipated, you can't really preview that one.
Yeah, very true.
I like that.
Here's the deal. Adam Driver is not Adam Scott. Adam Driver was brought up on the air, and I said, oh, yeah, the guy that hung up on us before we did the interview because he didn't want to sit through a commercial break.
Wrong one, yeah.
Yeah, and I mocked Adam Driver and said Adam Driver's on the list. I have no issue with Adam Driver. As a matter of fact, we interviewed Adam Driver. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. Mm-hmm. Adam Scott, the punk from Parks and Recreation.
Party down.
That's
that guy.
It. Yeah. All right, so I apologize to Adam Driver.
Okay, all right. But the Skittles one is when, you know, there's a kid throwing Skittles up at the window to get his girlfriend's attention, but the Skittles are going through the window and in the mouths of his entire family. As they're all sitting down there, it's pretty funny.
That's a decent idea.
Yeah, it's very cute.
What about this Sprint commercial? Because is this controversial or something?
I didn't see it that way. Well, you know, there's a guy with his two kids that literally pushes his SUV over a cliff to fake his own death so he can get out of his phone contract.
And the kids are in the car?
No, they're with him. And they're like, Dad, I don't think you really needed to do that. And then the phone guy comes up and said, you know, we can get you out of your contract. You don't have to fake your own death. It is very funny. I don't think, is it about death or, I don't know. I didn't see it that way. I saw it as just being silly.
Well, you know, people get upset over silly things.
I know. That's true.
And Tom Brady actually is playing in the game, but will take time out during the game to appear in a commercial.
That's never really happened before where the star quarterback is actually in a commercial, and I've seen a little tease on that too. It's quite entertaining, but it just kind of takes it out of context. Like, I want to see him playing the game, not in a spot.
Well, there's Lady Gaga is in a commercial too, right? Or did she produce it?
No, she's in a Tiffany and Company, and then she's also in the Pepsi commercial as well. So she's got two spots going.
And doing the halftime show.
Gaga's
show. Gaga's busy.
And I don't think they've even finalized all the insurance requirements for her to be on that roof yet. I think that's still
happening. Is she still going to do the roof?
Yeah. That's her intention anyway.
That's going to be so cool.
Yeah.
I love Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Is anybody appearing with her?
It's really good.
Is anybody who?
Appearing with her?
Tony they never released some of that. Well, I'm assuming it's going to be Tony, but they're always going to throw some other bands out there as well and throw them on stage.
They're going to throw Tony Bennett off the roof?
I bet he'll be on the field.
They
I
haven't
bet
specified
Tony's not
that.
Go on the roof.
I mean, I know he's lived a long life, but I don't think they should throw him off the roof yet.
He's got that. No. I hope Coldplay doesn't show up.
Oh, me too.
Oh, man. No.
Not a fan.
That was ranked. We got some from Rolling Stone coming out, and they said out of the 51 Super Bowls, that one was 51. Yeah. Even before the marching bands and the kazoos we had in the 70s, that was the worst.
Yeah. Renee Fleming's coming in here in about 45 minutes. We can ask if she'll do a live appearance with Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga.
Oh,
hey, maybe she could catch Tony Bennett when Lady Gaga shoves him through the hole in the roof.
That would shoot up to number one in the
That'd
the
be
ratings.
Solid, wouldn't
That'd
it?
Be great.
Nice.
Right? Or if Tony Bennett had a wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah. Oh,
no, not that kind of movie.
I was in a band called, you know, it's funny. I was in a band called Tony Bennett's Nipple.
Really? Tribute to?
True story. Tony Bennett.
No, it's
Tony Bennett.
Tony Bennett himself, yeah.
It's David Plyer, Saturday night, midnight. Listen to the Plyer program. Catch it on podcast everywhere, right?
That's right, sir. Absolutely.
And thanks for the edumacation and the Super Bowl spots.
My pleasure.
Which
thanks
one are we looking
me.
Forward to mostly, the live one?
I think the live one's going to be pretty cool, and I'm looking forward to seeing this spot with Steve Carell, which is the Honda spot.
Okay, there you go. There's your preview.
All right, thanks, Steve.
Yeah, you got it. 7:58, let's take a break. Come back more in a moment, 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me, kiss me good.
8:11, Dean's in Los Angeles this morning. Another one of these junket situations. Is that what you're doing?
Oh, I'm here for the Grammys, Steve.
Are you getting a Grammy?
Yes.
For spoken word?
The album that I did with Taylor Swift.
Oh, that's tremendous. I think we remember the album Taylor Swift Goes Greek. And you were on there and you were shirtless. And you were one of her background dancers.
It started off as a background dancer, but she quickly noticed my talent and agility. Mm-hmm. And we dated for 3 weeks, because that's as long as anyone ever dates Taylor Swift.
And your 24-pack abs, don't forget about that.
Dean actually named her Taylor Swiftalopoulos.
Oh, is that right?
After the romance, right?
I didn't know that.
I tried to. That was the beginning of the end of the romance. Way too many letters.
Right, because you got to spell it. Right?
That's
a problem.
Spelling, letters.
So, you don't normally go to the Grammys?
No, actually, the Grammys are next weekend. I'm not going to the Grammys at all.
I thought the Grammys were this week. Hold on. Let me see if I can get the hook out of my mouth. What are you doing in L.A.?
I'm doing some interviews, as usual. Steve, I can't wait today to talk with Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Because I enjoy all of the ice products, all of the ice performers.
Sure.
Charlie Day, you know who Charlie Day is?
I love Charlie Day.
Charlie Day is
a funny little dude, and by little I mean small.
Day. He is small in stature. He's the guy from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, and the Horrible Bosses movies, and he's great.
Right. He's in this new movie with Ice Cube called Fist Fight, where they play high school teachers who they have a disagreement. The Charlie Day character accidentally gets the Ice Cube character fired, and then the Ice Cube character wants to meet him out in the schoolyard after school for a fist fight.
And here's the hilarity. Teachers don't fist fight. That's where the comedy comes from.
That's the funny part, because students usually do that. Teachers usually don't.
You ever stop and wonder how movies get made? Because obviously Charlie's a star, Ice Cube's a star, but there couldn't be a weaker premise for a story, even though I hear that this movie's kind of funny. Even though I hear this movie's terrible. But you got to wonder how you sit down and with all the scripts that are written and all the attempts that are made to get a movie made, and it's a miracle that a movie gets made. Somebody sits down and goes, I got it. It's a couple of teachers that end up fist fighting at school. That's not a movie. How's that a movie?
I would. I just want to be part of this process one day where it goes from the pitch meeting where they go in to pitch the sleazy executives their idea, and they explain the idea, the process, the rewriting, how it goes back and forth. I mean, Steve says, incredibly long process. And then how some of this stuff winds up getting made is beyond me. I'm not allowed to review this yet, but...
But watch what happens when I go, I hear it's pretty funny.
bad phone call. Bad phone connection.
Now, I've been in those meetings. I have I've sat down and I've said, here's the script idea. I had a couple of development deals when they were handing them out like candy back in the 90s. I've sat there and they will tell you the Hollywood big shots. And by the way, I've been with a couple of big shots. The Hollywood big shots will tell you, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. You're unbelievable. We will never, ever not be in business together. We are going to go off into the sunset, holding hands as we walk into the Pacific Ocean and drown together in our money. That's what we're going to do. It's going to be incredible.
And then you get to the car.
And they never call you again. You never hear from them. Such a terrific town.
Hey, wait a minute. I heard that same thing from WGN management.
Yeah, that was 2010. They've changed.
Wait a minute.
But I tell you what, my idea for a couple of teachers getting in a fist fight at school could get made at some point. I'm pretty sure.
I don't know how the actors get involved either. Actors at some point, they look at these scripts. I've had actors tell me that sometimes it looks really different on paper than it does when it finally gets made. But I don't know how you look at this basic premise, the one sentence premise, high school teachers get in a disagreement and have a fist fight after school. Couldn't be more clear. How you go, yeah, I want to be part of that.
Right.
I don't get that. Especially in these days, I don't want to get too philosophical about this whole thing, but where violence seems to be the resolution of everything.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense on any level. Nobody sat down in a pitch meeting for this movie and went, it's like Citizen Kane meets The Godfather. They said, no, 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 it's a movie with a couple of knuckleheads fist fighting at school. I hope it's a big hit.
I like an irreverent movie. I like, you know, silly, a sophomoric. All I can say is,
So it's funny then.
Dean sounds like my mother when she's angry.
We were just talking about celebrity Super Bowl commercials and the celebs that are appearing in them with David Plyer, who's got a big special tomorrow night on the air about it here. But is there one cameo you're looking forward to more than any other?
In the commercial?
Yeah.
Most of the commercials are already online.
Yeah.
I just even question whether or not the commercials are the big deal that they used to be.
They're not, because they've been watered down by this online thing.
Yeah, I mean, if you're interested in the commercials, you can see virtually all of them online this morning. There's this Justin Bieber commercial. I don't even know what the product is. There's some effective advertising. But he's dressed up like Justin Timberlake. Remember when Justin Timberlake had that suit and tie song?
Yeah.
And Justin Timberlake is all, you know, like kind of, you know, suit and tie formal. And there's a commercial like that was just revealed this morning. That's the big deal. So
sounds like a big yawn to you.
There's this really funny John Malkovich commercial for some online company where John Malkovich goes online looking up johnmalkovich.com only to find that somebody else has it and has a John Malkovich meltdown. That's pretty funny.
That's funny. That's a funny idea.
Yeah. Melissa McCarthy has got
Kia commercial.
Commercial this year, the Kia commercial that's been out for quite a while. John Lovitz is apparently the spokesperson for avocados, because when you think John Lovitz, you think avocados.
He's been in here a bunch, and he's weird, and he looks like an avocado, and he actually does. He looks like an avocado.
He got fired from Celebrity Apprentice last week, by the way, because you guys are keeping up. Yeah.
I'm going to pray for him. I'm praying for everybody on Celebrity Apprentice.
By the way, if you're wondering what the president was doing last night, apparently not sleeping, an epic tweet storm overnight, 15 tweets or something. But anyway, here's one about Schwarzenegger. Yes, Arnold Schwarzenegger did a really bad job as governor of California, and even worse on The Apprentice, .. but at least he tried hard. What are you, 12?
So this is different than the attack at the National Prayer Breakfast, right? This was after Arnold responded and said, why don't we switch jobs?
Yeah, it's funny. And by the way, I'd take that trade. Like today.
So explain this. Isn't Donald Trump is one of the executive producers of Celebrity Apprentice?
Yes, you would think that trashing the show wouldn't be a great idea. But then again, as president of the United States, you also think he'd have something better to do with his time.
So isn't it in his financial interest for the show to do well? And could he be trying to create a publicity stunt?
Some people brought that up, but I go back to what's been said over and over again. As a matter of fact, Howard Stern talked about this, I don't know if it was yesterday or this week, but Stern's known him forever. And Stern said, in essence, he's crushingly insecure, like just dramatically crushingly insecure. And Stern's worried about him because he said, if you got a Stern cut, all right, here's Howard.
It's going to be very detrimental to his mental health, too, because He wants to be liked. He wants to be loved. He wants people to cheer for him.
You think this could take him down?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a healthy experience. I mean, all these people who, and by the way, he's, you know, now on this anti-Hollywood kick. He loves Hollywood.
Anti-press, anti-everything.
First of all, he loves the press. He lives for it. He loves people in Hollywood. He only wants to hobnob with them. And all of this hatred stuff directed toward him, it's not good for him. It's not good.
It's Howard on his own show this week talking about his friend Donald Trump. I don't disagree. If you become president of the United States and you're still talking about crowd size and apprentice ratings, you got a problem.
I posted on my Twitter yesterday because, Steve, that's what all the kids are doing now. You don't really communicate. All you do is tweet. Mm-hmm. But when this blow up happened with the National Prayer Breakfast, I posted what I just posed to you about doesn't he have financial interest in the show publicity stunt? ? Of all people to respond to me, Sandra Bernhardt, comedian Sandra Bernhardt, responds to my tweet and says that he only has a very, very minority ownership interest in the show. But he still has ownership interest in the show.
Yeah, and you would think, being such a terrific businessman, he wouldn't want to trash one of his businesses. I don't know. Maybe it's me.
The ratings went right down the tubes. It's been a total disaster.
Is he talking about the White House?
Oh, you and your political talk.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Rick Shirley, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720. Top man.
All right, if people want to go to the movies this weekend, Dean's got some reviews here. And then, Dean, coming up here in a couple of minutes, Renee Fleming will be live in the studio.
Very nice.
Yeah. She apparently thought she was doing a different show.
She's here, and she is as pretty as we thought.
Well, and she could sing a little bit, too. I was talking to her people. I was trying to see if she'd be up for Mockingbird. Mock, yeah-ing, yeah. Don't you think that'd be fun for Renee Fleming and me to do that?
If she sings it, yeah.
Well, it's two parts.
I would pay a week's salary to hear that, by the way.
Me too, Dean.
All right, so three movies out this weekend worth mentioning, or just because you have to by law? What's The Space Between Us?
The Space Between Us is sort of a teen sci-fi romance. It's a story about a team of astronauts who travel to Mars. We are now at a place where people can live on Mars in sort of this enclosed pod-like area. One of the astronauts secretly is pregnant, didn't tell anybody. Apparently they don't do those kind of medical tests, didn't tell anybody that she was pregnant. And as a result of that, the first human ever to be born on Mars is born. Flash forward 16 years later, now you've got, an anxious and, a little bit belligerent 16-year-old boy who has nothing but curiosity about Earth and nothing but curiosity about his biological parents. His mother died while giving birth to him, and he doesn't know who his father is, so he's very curious about his parents. He apparently on Mars, Steve, you can get on the internet, no problem, and you can chat with people when you're on Mars.
Yeah, Mars has Wi-Fi.
Right on the internet, and he strikes up a relationship with a troubled young girl who also feels despondent and like she has no connections. He eventually winds up going back to the planet Earth, where he searches out this girl. They search out information about the biological parents, only he has trouble living in Earth's atmosphere because all he knows is the Martian atmosphere.
Oh, boy.
So it's a race for life.
Will they be able to be together? Dean, will they be able to be together?
Well, that's what I can't give away the ending to this because this could be the next Gone with the Wind in terms of new movie classics. The science of this is kind of interesting. You know, can we really live? Will there be a day when we can really live on Mars? Can this really happen? Is there really a physiological change that the body goes through when it goes into outer space? Answer to all of those things is yes. By the way, we talked with a real life astronaut who lived on the space shuttle for quite some time. But when the teen romance story kicks into this, it brings the movie way, way, way down. It's not very interesting. Maybe, I don't know, maybe if you're a teenager, you might find it interesting, but I have more respect for teenagers than to think that even they might think that this is kind of exciting. I think the movie's a disappointment. Dean's List, C- for The Space Between Us.
And Rings?
Rings is the latest in the Ring franchise. This is the premise of this movie. They didn't screen this for the critics. I know many of you will find hard to believe that a movie that is about a videotape, if you watch the videotape, within 7 days, you'll die.
Hmm. Okay.
That's really all I can tell you about the movie. That's all I know of the premise because it was not screened. So, you know, if that sounds like something interesting to you, God bless you. The other big movie, and by far the best new movie that's opening this weekend, actually has been nominated for an Academy Award for Best Documentary. It's called I Am Not Your Negro.
And hey, let's be clear. You'll always be my Negro.
Thank you. Thank you very much, bro.
Yes.
This is a chronicle of the famed writer James Baldwin.
Sure.
Kind of based on some works that he was completing at the time of his death. He was working on a book about Martin Luther King, about Malcolm X, and about Medgar Evers. All three of them pivotal figures in the civil rights movement, all three of them assassinated and killed. And this movie, through showing archival video, footage of Baldwin's speeches, footage of Baldwin on different talk shows back in the 1960s, talking about the black experience, what it's like to be African-American in America. This is like in the middle to late 1960s. Point of the movie showing that things really have not changed very much. The movie goes back and forth from things that happened and were happening back in the 60s and 70s, flashing up to today when similar things are happening 50 years later. The point of the movie that while things have changed a little bit, things haven't changed all that much. It's actually a really well done documentary.
I'd heard that as well.
Yeah, learned a lot about James Baldwin. I had known him as an author, did not know he was as involved in the civil rights movement as this movie shows. So I learned a lot, and I thought it was pretty interesting. Gave this one B+.
The Wintrust Community Banks Hour continues. Renee Fleming will join us live in studio. Have a great weekend in L.A. We'll talk to you next week.
See ya.
All right, that's Dean. Back after this.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Walk on through the wind. Walk on through the wind. Though your dreams be tossed and blown.
Great Goosebumps moment from the 2009 Obama inauguration celebration. It's Renee Fleming doing You'll Never Walk Alone. And she joins us live in studio. It's an honor to have you here.
Thank you so much.
That particular song in 2009, do I remember 2009 correctly, wasn't it bitterly cold?
It was incredibly cold. I mean, we were all protected in a nice heated tent, but for the audience, for people who stood out there for hours, it was moving that there were so many people there.
Do you have to worry about what it does to your voice, though?
You know, frankly, adrenaline carries the day. I mean, you have to sort of be a little bit careful and try to stay covered as much as you can. But once you're out there, I don't think about it. It was fine.
In a career filled with highlights, where's that one rank?
It's way up there. You know, frankly, all of those things that I do that are kind of ambassador related, you know, whether it's the Beijing Olympics or or the Nobel Peace Prize. You know, I sang for the Queen's Jubilee. All of these things are incredibly thrilling, you know, and it's an honor to be there and participate. The hardest thing I do is sing on the opera stage. That's the toughest of all. So these things are actually a joy.
What's the warm-up? Do you have a warm-up you go through every night? I mean, you don't have to do it now, obviously.
Yeah, but, No, of
but is it
I have
specific
yes.
to you or something you've crafted through the years? Or
you know, it's different every day. It depends on how my voice is. I have a little cold now, so you know my speaking voice is quite low. So it'll take a little longer to get up into that soprano range. So,
right.
Yeah, I sort of feel my way with various exercises and I use a straw a lot of times, you know, Sing through a straw. It really is good for your speaking
sing
voice.
Sing through a straw.
Yes. If you ever get gravelly, it'll be great for you, too.
Is that
there
right?
You
yeah.
You could do that every morning.
You can hum in the car.
Grab that Diet Coke, start singing through the straw, and throw the Diet Coke out.
That's right.
There's in a city, the greatest city in the world here in Chicago, known for amazing events. There's an event tomorrow night, which is just going to be tremendous. You can see jazz legend Kurt Elling. You can see Lupe Fiasco. Chicago Voices Concert is on. And this is the Lyric Civic Opera House. And along with, I assume you're performing, you're also the artistic director of this?
Yeah, I've curated this concert, kind of put it together. It's been a phenomenal team effort from a fantastic staff of Lyric Opera. And, I mean, that we also have Terrence Howard and Jesse Smollett from Fox's Empire hosting, plus Kate Flannery from The Office and Reverend Jesse Jackson, you know, and then the performances from Jesse Mueller, who I just saw in Waitress on Broadway. She is amazing.
Right.
John Prine, who is a legend. So we're not going to have this kind of talent on stage probably ever again.
And there's not a single person you could go, well, that's not the music I'm into. You got everything.
You got everything. Michelle Williams. I mean, she's gone from Destiny's Child to gospel and everything in between. And the Hanson family. There's something for everybody. Matthew Polenzani was just fabulous as Tamino in The Magic Flute. And all genre, I think, really shows us how we're the same. We're going to collaborate, too. I'm singing with John Prine. Can you imagine?
That's going to be cool.
Well, I can, because I know you can do any genre you want.
Okay, all right. I'm writing that down. Thank
please
you.
Please do. No, I mean, I know it's true. And the fact of the matter is, you can still get tickets, which is amazing to me. There can't be many left. So get them today. Get them now.
Yes.
You did it at 312-827-5600, 312-827-5600, because getting a collection of folks like this, just based on the names, everybody's schedule is nuts. I don't know how you found a night that works for everybody.
I know. It's taken a while. We've been planning this for 18 months.
America's Voices was kind of the catalyst for this, and that's how you picked Chicago. We want to hear, too, how, you know, I saw your piece last night on Chicago Tonight. You were bragging about the rich culture that we have here in Chicago.
This is not like any other city for music. So many styles have come out of this city, you know, from the migration, from bringing up Memphis blues and the development of the blues, which really kind of the blues are the foundation for most of popular music. But then you have this brilliant classical foundation. You have great music theater here. I call Chicago the cultural capital of the U.S.
We cannot argue with you.
You know. Those two big C's. It makes me very happy to think of that.
Yeah. Now, have you worked here many times?
Oh, yeah. I've been singing here for a long time. I debuted here at the opera with a Bob Falls production, actually, from the Goodman Theater. So there's a lot of synergy around sharing and collaborating within the city, and there should be more. We should continue to do that.
I want to talk about, maybe some advice for moms and dads who think they have the next Renee Fleming growing up in their house. When we come back and tell you more about this amazing night tomorrow night at the Lyric. Again, get your tickets, write this number. Okay, you're driving, just memorize the number, say it over and over again in your head so when you get to work you can make the call. 312-827-5600. More with Renee Fleming in a second. And I think she and I are going to do Mockingbird.
Oh,
huh?
Right.
Yeah.
It'll be cool to hear her do Mockingbird.
That is the best mocking laugh I've ever heard.
We might sound the same. No, we might sound the same this morning. I'm laughing at myself with this
cold. Stop it already.
It's okay. We're laughing at him, Renee.
And pointing.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
To Glen and down the mountainside.
Here's another note I can't hit. Stand by.
The summer's gone and all the flowers are dying. Tis you must go and I must buy.
Amazing. That's amazing. The Chicago Voices concert is part of a full weekend of activities. The expert panels and master classes that go on are incredible, that give an opportunity for the next generation to have access that they might not otherwise get. And this weekend, you're not just going to hear the music of the great classics, you also get the music of Howlin' Wolf. And I like the idea of Renee Fleming sitting around the house on a Saturday night singing the blues. So, I mean, we have such a great blues tradition in this town, obviously. But it's a wonderful, wonderful show. It is really, I don't know when you could put this together again. So I'm only going to throw this ticket number out one more time because when you get tickets for this, you're going to be glad you did. It's going to be a great Saturday night. And I'll throw it out as soon as I can find it since I managed to lose it. In the meantime, Renee Fleming's here, and she has a new album out. It's called Digital Light. You're doing the music of Bjork in part?
Yeah. So it's called Distant Light, and there's
Bjork. Oh, Distant Light.
Yep,
sorry.
Yep. This is kind of a... you know, an adventure, but I sing Bjork songs with orchestra, and I think they turned out really well. Yeah,
that's something I wouldn't have thought. Well, here's what we're going to do next. So where did that come from, the inspiration to do the Bjork thing?
Well, I also do two major concert works for soprano and orchestra. So one is a setting of Mark Strand poetry by a Swedish composer, and it's called The Strand Settings. And one of the songs is called The Sickness of Angels, for instance. And it's very modern, very, very kind of atmospheric, sort of like a landscape, a musical landscape.
Do you see that stuff as a challenge, too? You know, keeps you fired up about what
yes.
you do?
Yes. Oh, I love new music. I want to sing new things all the time. Absolutely.
Sure. With Chicago Voices, I guess everybody thanks you for contributing to the larger story of what Chicago is. I think those were your words. But when did you know? I mean, when you sing, literally, you give people goosebumps. When did you know I got the knack for this?
So, well, I grew up in a musical family. You know, some families are, they all do sports. We all sang. You know, we sang in the car. We sang everywhere. So I consider myself sort of an indentured servant. You know, I'm still paying off the debt to my parents.
Right.
Because they were both music teachers, high school vocal music teachers. And I love it. You know, my children are also very musical. My siblings are all musical. It's just part of, it's what we did.
That's very sweet, and that's very modest. There's a difference between the whole family gets together and sings for the holidays and Renee Fleming.
Yeah.
So and at what age were you when somebody came along and said, she's got something special here and we need to foster this?
Well, I went on there was no moment because I just kept on that track. So, you know, I went to school for music ed also. And I just kept going. I love jazz, so I sang a lot of jazz in college early on. And there, you know, it takes a sort of, you have to have an instrument, but it takes a lot of ambition. You have to want to continue to improve and work on your technique. This isn't something you're just talented and you wake up and the next day you're on the stage of lyric opera. This takes a lot of education.
All right, it's a dumb question. The leap from jazz to opera is an interesting one. Why not one of the great jazz artists? What inspired you to chase the opera dream?
You know, the jazz door for me, it just sort of closed. You know, I was kind of, Illinois Jacquet wanted me to tour with him. So that, but I was a little nervous. I was kind of shy. So I went to graduate school instead. And after that, I always tell my kids, you know, certain doors are going to open and other doors will close. And you just have to be kind of confident and know that your path will become clear at some point.
Yeah.
As long as you keep working, you have to work hard.
Being awarded the National Medal of the Arts from the president in 2013 has to be up there. What was
that
like?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was incredible. I mean, first of all, you're in the room with so many extraordinary people, and it's just, it's the greatest honor that our country bestows on an artist. So it's thrilling.
Your parents must have been pretty cool because you've had enough things where you could be jaded at this point. And you seem like such a, well, I mean, this is the highest praise. You seem like such a regular chick.
You know, some people change with success and some people don't. And I sort of wanted to become a diva and be fodder for dinner conversations, but I never could do it. So
right.
I'm in the latter category.
You got to be able to laugh at yourself, too, right?
Oh, humor is, you must have a sense of humor.
This is what cracks me up, too, about the opera, too, because, listen, I'm beyond a neophyte. I'm the guy they make stay outside and park the cars. But having said that, you know, I think about people who are brought a bottle of wine at a nice restaurant and they pretend they know what they're doing when they sniff the cork and look at the color and all of those things. There are people who are opera snobs and people who enjoy the performance. I would assume on any given night you'd like a room full of people who are there for the performance.
Yeah, for sure. But also, the performance has so many facets. You know, there's this huge spectacle. There's the visual piece. There are, you know, there are the costumes. There's the storytelling. And then there's great singing and great music. So, I mean, what I really would like is for everybody in Chicago to try it. You know, the tickets can be very inexpensive. You can wear jeans. There are super titles. You know, I want to remind everyone again that there is translation up there. And just give it a shot. You know, you could spend $30 and leave after one act. But give it a try, because you might find that it's something you really love.
And it's cool that you foster young talent, too. You're looking for the next generation as well.
No, I was just listening to Laura Bertin, who was 13, I think, when she won America's Got Talent. I saw her on TV. And
she's a great kid.
She's got something special, because she was singing with one of the, you know, boy opera groups, and at the end, one of the guys held the high note longer than her, and when they repeated that phrase, she held it out longer. I said, oh, she's got it.
Competitive.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. It's tomorrow night at Lyric Civa. Boy, I tell you what, this is what happens when you stay up late.
The Lyric Opera, yeah.
I left this morning, my mouth was still on the pillow. I said, nah, sleep a little longer, I'll go to work. At Lyric Civic Opera House. Tickets, 312-827-5600. And Renee Fleming's new album, Distant Light, featuring music of Bjork as well, which is out and everywhere. And you know you're careless, so download two copies. You might lose one.
Thank you.
And nice to see you. It's really an honor to have you here.
Fabulous. So great to see you.
Yeah, and you'll be there tomorrow night?
I'll be there tomorrow night. I can't wait.
Okay.
It's a great time.
Did you know at what point you're rushing the stage? Have you decided?
You weren't supposed to tell her that part, right? She'll be going, security!
Yeah, we want
get
that. Rushing the stage. Absolutely. And lighters, absolutely. Now it's iPhones.
Everybody I have
uses
the
their
downloaded.
IPhones.
Yeah,
no,
hold it. Yeah, the app, my lighter app that I hold over my head.
I have it.
Have a great weekend here, and thank you for doing the show.
Thank you.
We'll take a break, come back, get your news next on 720 WGN, and CLTV joins us as well.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Music is a world within itself.
Renee Fleming was a little shy about singing on the air, but man, she just left. I couldn't get her to stop. She wanted to do duets all the way up. We did Peaches and Herb reunited in the lobby, and tourists were coming in. It was phenomenal. And you know me, I don't make stuff up.
Too bad we don't have that audio. Dave, we should have been rolling on that.
That would have been good. You would think, with all the equipment we have around here, somebody would have recorded it, because it was a great moment.
I heard them doing Love is Strange, and I thought, that's pretty good.
The cool part was, when we did Captain and Tennille, Love Will Keep Us Together, she wanted to do the Captain part. I was Tennille. I mean, you didn't see that coming.
You're a good Tennille.
No.
I am a total Tennille. Bella Gandhi from Smart Dating Academy will join us shortly. We're doing a three-parter leading up to Valentine's Day. Now, next week, you got to carry this ball alone. It's going to be you and who's working? Pete?
Pete, I think, is in.
Pete McMurray being next week. Well, Pete likes Bella.
Pete does like Bella, yeah.
So you guys will talk about this in part three, but we're trying to teach people how to have somebody in their life by next Valentine's Day. I mean, obviously before, but I mean, to have a relationship by next Valentine's
Day. Yeah, so you can start preparing.
You've
got a couple months to get ready.
Right.
Figure it out. And
then have a solid date.
But that is a good question. If you just started dating, which I know someone who just started dating her boyfriend around Christmas, what do you do for Valentine's Day? Do you get a gift?
Oh, sure. Yeah. For Christmas? Yeah.
No, for Valentine's Day.
If you were dating at Christmas, you're 2 months in at Valentine's
Day. That's what I said,
too. Or 6 weeks.
And then I said he should buy something for her, but she doesn't necessarily have to get him anything.
Well, here's the other problem. Between Thanksgiving and Valentine's Day, you're in the no breakup zone. So you could be in a relationship in the holidays where you're going, wow, we're really sick of each other. But, you know, we don't want to fly solo since we've been together. So we're going to stay together until Valentine's Day and then dump each other like bad habits.
I knew a girl who dumped her boyfriend on Valentine's Day.
Oh, and that's sweet.
She was not a nice person.
Isn't that sweet?
Not nice.
Was there a reason she had to do it that day?
She just was not a nice person.
Hmm. You dumped this woman, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't even talk to her anymore.
Got it.
Not even a friend.
Why don't we play an extra round, since we have a minute here? Why don't we play an extra round of America's fastest growing game show, Prop Bet or Not a Prop Bet? You want to do that? And we'll make it easy for a listener. Seventh caller is an automatic winner just for listening to America's fastest growing game show. One we've only played once.
That's why it's the fastest growing, because it's already doubled in appearances on this show.
Prop bet or not a prop bet? All right, Dave. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Prop Bet or Not a Prop Bet. And we actually have a caller who can play our game. Yes, caller, what is your name?
Lee.
Lee, are you ready to play Prop Bet or Not a Prop Bet?
Sure.
A prop bet is an unusual bet, not traditionally a bookie bet from Las Vegas. You simply have to tell us, is this an actual bet that money's being exchanged for in Las Vegas, or is this something Dave made up in a drunken stupor?
All right,
Dave, what is the bet?
All right, the color of Gatorade that is poured on the head coach of the Super Bowl 51 champion. Can you bet that between clear, lime green, yellow, orange, red, blue, purple?
Is that an actual bet, or is Dave hallucinating?
I think that's an actual bet.
Ding, ding, ding. You just need one more to be a big winner.
Okay.
All right, Dave, another one of these possibilities from the wild world of Dave Ennett.
All right.
By the way, prop bet or not a prop bet, brought to you by Mike Jacobson Industries. When you need one hat to wear all the time, call Mike Jacobson Industries. He'll fit it to your head. All right.
It'll have a Sox logo. Okay. All right. Prop bet or not a prop bet, Lady Gaga will descend from the top of NRG Stadium on a giant pink swan.
I like the imagery, whether it's real or not. Is that real or is that nonsense?
I don't think it's going to be a giant pink swan, but I think she's going to descend from the ceiling.
She's right again.
Although the swan has not been ruled out, but I don't think you can bet it.
No, but that's the point. The swan is in negotiations.
Yes.
Yeah, and the negotiations haven't been complete. You're very good at this, and you're a big winner.
Thank you.
Congratulations. What would you like me to give her? Hold the line. Oh, yes. Look at this. I've got a dessert package, if you will, from Sweet Alley's Valentine's Day Treats. The treat box is yours. Everybody can celebrate together with Sweet Alley's gluten-free baked goods. Located in Hinsdale and Glenview, Sweet Alley's offers a variety of sweet, savory, and special occasion baked goods, including dairy-free and vegan. Go to sweetallies.com. That's sweetallies.com. And an app gift card from ABT.com. Congratulations for playing America's Fastest Growing Game Show. Probably not probably. It's 9:20. We're back with Bella Gandhi and Love next on 720 WGN. Do we have a plumbing issue here?
It sure seems like it.
It's in the hallway, Steve.
We don't have another one of these Tribune pipe bursts going on, do we? Because something is a little funky in the hallway here.
I just told the engineer that, and he said it's probably diesel, but this is different than diesel.
Yeah, this is do that exhaust cleaning, and it's a different smell.
This is plumbing.
This does not smell good.
No.
It's a good thing they sold the building before, because it'd be a bad day to walk a buyer through.
I noticed it when Renee Fleming was leaving. I went out and I thought, oh, no, please, because I didn't know. You know, initially you think maybe bathroom smell or something like that. And then as you walk down the hallway more, it gets very pronounced.
I like that you two are concerned about Renee Fleming's concern about her appearance here when we could all be inhaling toxic fumes.
Well,
think it's toxic.
We want to go out on a positive note. We want people thinking
breaking
nice,
news.
Freshing, refreshing not, things about us.
There's not a dog down there, is there?
No. This is definitely a pipe or something. Or the sewer broke in front of the building.
Yeah, it's bizarre because, you know, the one time that we had this morning show off the air for, well, we were off the air for 35, 40 minutes or something. Oh. We were going to go to Channel 9 to do the show from there, and they had finally fixed it. There was water flowing from the sixth floor?
Yeah, it started on the sixth floor and was
all the way down to the basement.
It was gushing, remember, down the staircase too.
Yeah. So
and master control was underwater as well.
Anyway, I know as you're listening you can't smell it, but understand what a distraction this is, which is why I'm bringing it up.
I'm not sure you can't smell it.
You look a little white, Steve.
Does it make it worse to spray the Febreze because then you have that smell on top of that? Or should I spray the Febreze?
Spray the whole can.
Okay. Yeah, that helps.
I'm on my way.
Anyway, we're back at 9:25 because where would we go? Do I need a break before I say hi to our guest here? All right, let me say hi and introduce her right now. We were just talking about the fight for Air Climb. How are you?
Hi, good morning.
Sorry to rush you in here.
Hey, no, happy to be here.
Okay, good. Glad to hear it. And you know Dave?
We have met. I've seen him climb many a stairs in my day.
There you go. Kristen Young.
And Kristen is the executive director of the Fight for Air Climb. How'd you get that gig?
I've been a nonprofit for the last 12 years, so kind of worked my way up the ranks.
12 years? You look like you're 18 years old.
God bless you.
Really? You look fabulous.
Yeah,
that's why. That's why when she said she's seen Dave climb many a stair in her day, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, truly.
Telling you. I was just complimenting Dave. He's in terrific shape, and he's good. You going to do all four towers again?
That's my plan.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so people can still get involved, right? Companies can get involved?
Yes. The Fight for Air Climb Sunday, March 5th at Presidential Towers, presented by United Healthcare. Fightforairclimb.org is the website, and you have the option as a climber to climb 1, 2, 3, or all four towers, a total of about 2,300 steps, and if you can believe it, about 80% of the people that do it climb all four.
80%?
So, I swear, yeah.
That 80%. Is amazing.
I know.
And what's the age range, youngest to oldest, for climbers that you've seen?
4 is the youngest that I've seen, and 81 last year was the oldest that I've
seen. How great is that?
So, I know, right?
We had Dave did it last year.
You know,
I'm kidding. Okay. Come on. I'm going to take the Febreze away. I'm going right now.
Judd Hirsch was in here the other day. Judd's 82, and he was running in place. We could have had him do the four towers on that. Right?
Yeah. And you are cordially invited, by the way.
Oh, I appreciate it. You are welcome. I wrote a big check last year. Yeah. I may be writing another one. But it's turned into a phenomenal event because I remember a time, Dave, in a decade we called the 90s, where everybody talked about the climb up the Hancock. Yeah. I would say the Presidential Towers, the LA Fight for Air Climb, has passed all the climbs in the city.
Yes, I would agree. We are actually the largest stair climb in the country with all four towers combined. So over 2,000 people come out on March 5th, and it's a great day. Encourage fundraising, $25 to register, $100 minimum fundraising, and we have corporate teams. WGN last year raised over $8,000 for
us.
So amazing. So friends, family, get your colleagues out there. It's a great day.
It's a really cool event, and it's not just you go, you get in a stairwell, you climb, and that's it. I mean, there's food, there's all kinds of entertainment around, people having a good time, enjoying it, wearing different team T-shirts.
Right.
It's really a very festive
day. And there's inspirational notes going up all the stairwells that are great because when you're panting and you can look at it quickly, and plus the encouragement from all your peers, that's why people do four climbs, I believe, don't you
think? We should probably, Mary's right, we should probably salute the volunteers who hang out in the stairwells all morning to cheer people
on. With
the
water.
I'm complaining about the smell in the building today.
We have volunteers, actually, that just ride the elevator up and down all day, every day for the climb.
Yeah, so they don't see
all the smelly people.
All the smelly people.
Well, let's talk. I lived in Presidential Towers when I first came to town.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the mechanics of this. Mm-hmm. So do you have people starting in the same tower all morning?
Yeah, so the start line is at Tower 1, and you climb up the stairs, you take the elevator down, and then you time in and out in the stairwell. So then you can take your time coming down the elevator. You walk to the next or run or sprint or crawl or whatever you can do.
And the clock starts when you start climbing again?
Yep. So you're only timed in the stairwell. And our fastest climber last year was 15 minutes for all four towers, which is not the norm, I promise.
Oh, that was you, Dave?
That was me.
That was me. What was your time last year?
I was 30-something,
I think. Pretty incredible.
That is good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Very good.
But Patty Vasquez was faster.
Yeah, well, she took a cab. She went full Rosie Ruiz. So individuals can do this, teams can do this, and anything in between.
That is correct. And you register fightforairclimb.org or call us 312-781-1100, and we can register you over the phone. But have a few weeks, and we have two training climbs coming up. So if you're a little nervous about climbing in the stairwells for the first time, February 18th and February 22nd, if you register and raise your $100, you'll be able to come kind of test it out for the first time and see if you can get used to the stairwells.
Can I offer a couple of tips?
I think you should offer a couple of tips.
And Mary, you can back me up on this. Mary's been part of the team the last couple of years.
I think you start as fast as you can, right? Take as many steps as you can.
No.
Just go two steps at a time.
Yeah, that's the best way to go.
For the first stairwell. And then after that, it's all downhill.
Oh, my gosh.
No, it really is pacing yourself.
Right.
And what I did last year, this may be a little antisocial, but I did bring some music.
Oh, yeah.
And
you mean like a band to follow you?
Yeah, I had a band.
Is Renee Fleming.
Yeah, a guy carrying a tuba who's so tired after the first hour.
Dave was supposed to be my cheerleader, but he's got his little earbuds on. I'm
that kind of music.
Well, just, supposed to be helping.
I was helping
you.
You Mary.
You did, because I almost died.
He was going, move!
Yeah. Dave was great.
Out of my way!
It kind of helps maybe at least that first stairwell. If you get through the first stairwell, I mean, that's really the challenge, right, Chris?
Well, you know, you talk about the wall in a marathon. Mm-hmm. There's a wall in stair climbing, right? I mean, I always felt like, you know, in my long career of fundraising stair climbs. now, by the way, in stair climbs, it's three flights up. But I always felt like if you get to the fifth, sixth, seventh floor, somewhere there, some people might be 10 or 11.
Right.
If you get past that, it's home run.
Exactly. And we do have water stations, so we don't kind of lock you in the stairwell and make you go all the way up. About 15 floors up, every 15 floors, I should say. And then the top floor is the 49th floor. But you can get out of the stairwell. You can get a glass of water. It's not, again, walking up the stairs is the best case scenario because you do tire out if you try and sprint.
And somebody talked about claustrophobia. You know, you got so many people in, but you guys organize it in a way where you're never jammed on the steps.
Right. We send waves over of about 25 people, and every 5 to 10 seconds, we send someone up. So you get kind of your own moment of glory to start by yourself, and then but you go with your team, so everybody's kind of just 5 to 10 seconds
apart. And you hear people coming up the stairs behind you, and if they're going faster, you kind of move over to the side and let them pass you, and it all works.
Now Dave, you stepped on a bunch of people last year and climbed over them. Is
I
that
climbed why well, yeah I didn't step on them, I just kind of hoisted myself over them.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Well, that would be
I thought
different.
It was fair.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying it's a fun day, and we have an after party at South Branch, the bar and grill down the street, so certainly an opportunity to come, have a cocktail afterwards, enjoy yourself. It's supposed to be fun and a great way to raise money for the Lung Association.
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah.
Oh, Dave. Dave always has to leave to go to a game, but last year we had a Bloody Mary bar. Oh,
well, that's one of the reasons he was so fast. We had someone with a stick with a glass on the end of it, and he chased it like a greyhound in a race.
Yeah.
We're going to see if we can get an ID from Kristen Young because nobody's buying. She's been in the professional world for a dozen plus years.
I love you. I knew I did.
I'm telling you. Yeah. You look fantastic. Executive Director of the ALA, Fight for Air Climb. And Dave, congratulations. Your team is filling out, but more people are welcome.
Absolutely. And to win it, by the way, is our team.
And also, I'll give out your mobile number before the show's over.
Yeah, no problems.
People can call you. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me.
And the website in general?
Fightforyourclimb.org or 312-781-1100.
Thanks for coming over.
We'll take
a break, come back, get your big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I had this guy leave me a voicemail at work, so I called him at home. And then he emailed me to my BlackBerry, and so I texted to his cell, and then he emailed me to my home account, and the whole thing just got out of control. And I miss the days where you had one phone number and one answering machine, and that one answering machine housed one cassette tape, and that one cassette tape either had a message from the guy or it didn't. And now you just have to go around checking all these different portals just to get rejected by 7 different technologies. Exhausting.
I just haven't met you yet.
It's a great scene, great monologue. It's 9:45. Our friend, the lovely and talented Bella Gandhi, is here. Smart Dating Academy. Started off as almost a challenge. You know, somebody had an idea, you had an idea. So this might be fun, let's try it. Now it's turned out to be your life's work, your mission. To teach people how to date, how to be happy. I mean, that's what you do every day.
Best job ever. Besides being here, of course, at WGN Radio.
See? There you go.
Right. That's the key. We have a victim here in studio with us, and by that I mean Bennett. Because one of the things you have to do is you have to get people to face their fears and face the reality of their dating lives, right? That's what they do when they come into Smart Dating Academy to Bella. You go in and you coach them up on how to get rid of the bad behaviors.
Totally. And they're in it to win it in the dating game
right.
at that point. Right. So you got to figure out what's not working and then put a plan together.
They had an episode. Did you guys see Big Bang Theory this week? And Raj got all of his ex-girlfriends together in kind of a forum and wanted to know what he was doing wrong.
Turned out it was everything?
It was everything. Yeah. So finally he's like, all right, enough. I knew all that.
Now, Bennett Schimelwitz is here, and Bennett...
That's a new one.
Bennett Wagnett is here, and Thank Bennett's you. A great guy. He's a great guy.
Thanks.
Comes from a great family. There's no reason this dude's not a catch. But he must be making some kind of mistakes to still be single. I mean, look at that.
Well, let's pump the brakes a little bit. Let's pump the brakes a little bit.
Okay, first thing is admitting you have a problem.
All right, well, I'll do that. I'll do that in private first, and then we can work our way up to
public. Well, why am I pumping the brakes?
Because I had a girlfriend a while back.
Right.
And we ended things.
Right.
And I had a realization. Mary and Jake Jacobson, Mike Jacobson, can back me up on this.
Are you taking advice from those two knuckleheads? What are you doing?
No, this was a realization I had about myself.
Yeah.
That I've never really been single before for an extended period of time.
Even when you were like a toddler?
Yeah, really. I was running around the playground,
he was the catch
holding hands.
So you're not interested swinging. In a relationship now?
At this very moment, not really.
I still would like Bella to take you through your paces, though, and ask you some of the questions she would ask any man that comes in.
I'm an open book. I'm willing to talk
about
it.
What do you ask him, Bella? What do you, when Bennett comes in, what do you want to know?
What do you want right now?
Well, right now.
We'll just go there.
It's such,
right
now. What do you want right now?
Right now.
Yeah, Mary might be the closest to it. I'm pretty hungry. I haven't had lunch yet.
Yes.
But
thought his answer might be hot, naked, and slightly buzzed.
Right.
You want to go out on dates with some nice women.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
Play the field a little bit.
This is overplayed a lot, but something casual. I don't want something that's a road to a long-term thing right now.
Okay.
So I'm 24. I just turned 24.
Okay.
He wants to play the field. Right?
I want to play the field a little bit.
Okay, but when a man says that.
That comes off as
a
very
wrong. How does a woman read that?
You're looking for a little something.
Right.
Maybe right. two times, three times.
That's what they would perceive.
Looking
what
for
I
something
think.
Casual.
All right, but he means it. So how does he legitimately communicate that to someone without a woman getting her feelings hurt and going, well,
like, hey, scumbag.
Yeah.
Well, the good thing is if you're on dating apps, which we'll get to in a second, then you can say, I'm looking for something casual, right? So people know where you're. I'm looking for friendship. I'm looking for something casual. I'm looking for love.
Right.
So title yourself properly, and then you're off the hook, right?
But is there a way for we, as a gender, for men, to not get into trouble for being honest? Because your team always says we want to be honest. We want honesty.
That's
we
funny.
Want honesty. That's all we want is honesty. And the minute we're honest, we're in trouble.
That is true.
Here's what I would say. I have to give it up for men. Most men tell the truth up front. They say, I'm looking for something casual. What women hear is, oh, but I'm going to change your mind.
Right.
Okay. So men tell the truth. I tell women all the time, but what did he say? Take off your filters. He said he's looking for something casual. He's looking for something casual.
Right.
And then they'll date him. And then 3 months later, when the guy's like, hey, this has been great, but peace out. I'm, you know. Or he just ghosts. They're like, what happened? He wanted to be in a relationship. I'm like, he wanted something casual.
Well, see, that's the thing, because we're so simple. And I mean that literally. We're so simple. We're so easy to read. But you can't hear what you want to hear. You have to hear what we're saying.
Because
I'm telling you, early stages, it's much more likely we'll tell you the truth than later.
For sure.
Right. We'll take a break, and then Sandberg is representing Bennett in this cross-examination.
I have a lawyer now.
As his attorney.
Sandberg's my lawyer.
Yes.
The deposition.
The love counselor. So we'll come back and talk more to Bennett and talk more with Bella. SmartDatingAcademy.com. Yes, that's the website?
That's perfect.
All right. You need to get involved with Smart Dating Academy. Face what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong. Do more of the right stuff and less of the wrong stuff. All right, let's talk about Sherry's Berries. This would have helped Bennett. Sandberg, how many Sherry's Berries have you had in the last couple of days?
13, 14, 15.
15. How many did you have?
I had 4.
Yeah, I had 2.
Andre was even eating the nuts out of the container that fell off of the berries.
I did.
That'll be on Nick's show as well.
Really good.
I like the nuts. Yep, for sure. It must be love, love, love. Bella Gandhi's here. It's the Smart Dating Academy. When people come in to meet you and find out about their dating situation and get better, what's the one thing they need to bring with them? A good attitude?
Yes, absolutely.
What else?
You have to bring an attitude to change, right? People that come to us, we get a good self-selected group of people that are looking to make changes, to do things differently, and to put a plan together. I tell people, like, if you want to achieve love, you got to put a plan together, and then you got to put small steps together that you can achieve. It's like anything big you want to do in your life, and most likely, he's not going to come and deliver your pizza. You got to get yourself out there.
Now, of course, we just found out from someone, I won't name names, but someone met their love of their life and they're engaged. They met them on Tinder, yes. Which I believe will ruin your Tinder membership. That's not what Tinder's for.
It can be for that. Tinder's responsible for a lot of serious couplings and relationships. It's also, you know, responsible for a lot of other more casual
mostly just
encounters.
Couplings.
Yeah. Encounters.
Generally
encounters.
The couplings. They're really good at the couplings.
Look, couple nooners, you know, that kind of right. thing. Let's meet for lunch.
Actually, how come nobody's done that as a service? Nooner. It's a nooner dating
we
service.
We just came trademark up with a new dating app right? on the Steve Cochran Show.
Swipe right quickly. I've only got an hour.
Chipotle.
So Bennett Wakenight's here, and Bennett has brought his representative, Sandberg, with him. What did you want to say about Bennett?
When you were talking about keeping it casual and things, Bennett has had a problem with dating some of these new girls where they want a kiss at the end. And he was just kissing them back to be nice, but then not really wanting to be kissing him.
You're making this sound like a regular occurrence. So let me just point out this has happened only twice.
So I've been advising him not to lead them on by...
Oh, don't kiss.
Because then they're like, hey, can I come over? Well, like, you know what, they thought know, that they he was interested.
So sure. They're on the go team.
Yeah, they're on the go team. No, he's been more attacked by girls.
Bennett's a lip slut. What are you kissing
a
girls?
A lip slut.
Yeah, that's what you are. You're leading women on with those fabulous kisses of yours.
Guilty.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
All right, listen, I've always thought that the one way that women can tell if they're into a guy is if he's a good kisser or not and if there's some connection when you're making out. So isn't it on you guys to know if Bennett's faking you out?
No. Steve.
Why?
Because it's always your fault.
Oh, that's a good point.
It's always
no,
the dude's
I'm kidding.
Fault.
No,
right.
I would
is
know.
He a
I mean,
good
I'm,
kisser.
If at the end of the night, if things go well, I would think, woo woo.
You got to read the girl's body language, right? Or they're reading yours. Maybe they're thinking you're ready for the
read
kiss.
Read it when they're asking him, hey, can I come up? I mean, what's the read? She's telling you exactly what's going
right.
on.
And can I have a nightcap? Do you want to go to Chipotle?
Then no. It does say no. He does say no.
But the kiss can be the determining factor of if this is going to be maybe a second date or if this is going to be the end of it.
Game over,
yeah.
Right.
If you feel something, great.
So
if
should
not,
you?
Maybe not should a text the next day.
So it's all game over lately.
What'd you say, Andrew?
Should you give the goodnight kiss if you don't want to proceed with date number two or three? Or four?
I can't speak for Bennett. I'm just tired of being treated like a piece of meat, you know?
I know.
My eyes are up here.
We're sorry.
And they look tired.
But you're playing it right. You're not offering up the kiss if you know it's game over.
No.
They're saying, hey, how about we ... And you're like, okay.
Bennett, by the way, is the only...
Bennett, all right, if you force me.
Okay.
Bennett is the only decent man left on the planet. He's not since the 1850s has a man said, no, don't come up.
He aims to please.
Yeah. I'm not thirsty.
He's a pleaser. I like it. You're a good man, Bennett.
I'm full.
All right. We're not going to fix you today. We're going to send him to Smart Dating Academy.
Process.
SmartDatingAcademy.com. Next week, you and Pete McMurray and Andre will fix the rest of this problem.
Oh, that's right. Lord. That's awesome.
All right. Back with Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.